Blog Talk Radio.
February 3rd, 2014, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host. Do you have a new attitude? You know why I'm asking? Because it's Master Your Mindset Monday, phenomenal people. And you know why I love that? Because I love working on having a phenomenal mind. Yeah, that's the point of all of this, to move away from negative thinking, to move mental obstacles out of the way, to kick mental roadblocks to the curb. Oh, sounds exciting to me. To move into a more positive place in our heads, to move our thoughts around and create greater and better perspectives about stuff, and to move into that place of mastery when you can choose and use the mental assets that help us live our productive, positive and prosperous lives. That sounds good to me, and I hope to you too. You know, but one of the things so many of us have to overcome, though, is the whole concept of games. Yeah, games people play. The thought itself can, you know, sometimes imply something negative, but that's not always the case. But for sure, the concept is something we all seem to understand and be subjected to often, either the receiving part of it or we're the one dealing the card. Well, today, my radio BFF, TV host Cassandra McShepherd, joins me to talk about games people play. Do you hold the winning card? We'll talk about why we do it. We'll find out if it's useful or necessary. We'll talk about when it's harmful, when it hurts. We'll talk about when it helps, but particularly how you can always win. That's the part I like the best. And I know you'll enjoy the conversation. Good morning, superstar RRR.
Hey, Silver, how are you? I am so excited I'm excited to have the opportunity to grow again with you. I am just loving these Mastermind Mondays, and I am particularly excited about this topic because, you know, I am a gamer. And my games are my favorite games to play.
This is going to be more enlightening than I thought.
but see, mind games have such a negative, the word mind games or the phrase mind games have such a negative connotation. But I think that we would all do well to become proficient in the game of mastering our mind, which is what you're all about. As I say always, you need to, first of all, identify the game that you are in, learn the rules, and then play that thing to win. And that, to me, is what mind games are about. Even if you are feeling victimized by the mind games that someone is attempting to play on you, we have to, and this, you know, as with this statement, you could almost say, okay, well, great, have a good lunch, because this kind of wraps it up, but we will reiterate as we do. But you need to be willing, able, and able at all times just to reframe. It doesn't matter what anybody's trying to do. When you change your mind, it just is what that is. So that's what I love about what we're talking about today. Love it.
Right, right. Oh, I do too, and it's going to be very insightful, I have no doubt. You know, many years ago, I read a book that has been a bestseller, Games People Play, and it was written by psychiatrist Eric Byrne, Games People Play, The Psychology of Human Relationships. So I want to make sure that we make it clear and goal-oriented what we're doing today, because bottom line, what it really is the ability to communicate successfully rather than just play mind games. And by that, what it really shakes out to be, we're in these human interactions. We're in these situations where we want a response or we want to give a certain impression or, you know, things like that where the mind games kick in. We do it probably every day. It becomes a kind of a norm for us rather than always being
navigating.
Yes, exactly. Navigating when it's positive, Cassandra, manipulating when it's negative. But it's the same it's the same game. We're still somehow or another trying to pick somebody's brain or trying to persuade or trying to get something for ourselves or make ourselves look a certain kind of way. It's really, in, you know, we love this stuff, so it's fascinating to us. But what we achieve, or at least we hope to when we have these conversations, is to expand the thinking, expand the mindset, master what are the best skills, as you just stated, to navigate through a conversation, to get to a goal, to get to results, get something done. That's the whole purpose and the whole plan. But I loved his book. I loved it because, you know, he referenced by saying that things were often in our conversation just purely superficial, meaning that when we're talking to most people, we are not being as direct, that we're not being as authentic and even honest sometimes in what we're doing. And it makes you, doesn't that make you know then why so many relationships, be they friendships or otherwise, can just totally fall on their face if we're, you know, not even in the same lane when we're trying to talk. So I think there's a lot here for us to talk about. But, you know, one of the things that came to my mind, you know, we could be talking about something as simple as, let's say, a guy or a woman has somebody they would really like to go to lunch with to get to know better. And maybe they've seen them bring or order pizza. Let's say that. They've seen them at work ordering pizza. And so one day they see they haven't had lunch and they go over and they say, oh, boy, you know, I really got a taste for some pizza today. And, of course, the person that they know that loves pizza is supposed to say, hey, you know, I love pizza. Do you? Why don't we go grab some pizza? Very subtle little mind games. And then there's – it's all over the sales and marketing arena. And, I thought about this.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you can reflect on that. And let me just get this thought out. But, for instance, let's say you go to buy a house. And I'm sure most consumers know this particular mind tactic. But let's say you go to see a house and you're the first couple that's in there, the first potential buyer. The realtor shows you the home, and then you don't look like you're really sold on it. But they want you to be sold on it. So they say, you know, I've got three more people coming behind you today. If you're interested in this house, it might be a good idea to go ahead and, you know, put an offer in. A sort of kind of sales tactic, manipulation, mind game, to have the buyer, potential buyer, think, well, if I leave now, I might lose. So there's all kinds of things all over the board, and those are two teeny-weeny examples. It happens all day with all of us in some kind of way or another. But I know when I said sales and marketing, that your antenna went up. So what say you?
Well, you know what? It wasn't that specifically as much as it was that we are honestly dishonest. And I don't know that it is honest, and I would say honestly and innocently, because what in the world that we are living in, the world that we're aware that we're living in, what teaches us to be honest? Now, there are many things that say we should tell the truth, but what teaches and then therefore supports us standing in our knowing of whatever it is that we're knowing at any given time? We are taught to win. That's what we are taught to get over. We are taught to survive. So there is really nothing or not many things, especially that come across in media specifically and in all the information that we're getting. There really isn't anything that first teaches us how to be authentic and honest and then supports that authenticity or that honesty. So it's not surprising to me that we attempt to manipulate situations to get our good. It comes from, I think, it's wonderful, sir, but we've been talking for almost 20 years now, haven't we? We've been having the same conversation because there's just one truth. All of the ways in which we find to say differently the same old thing is fascinating to me. But the thing is when you don't trust, if you don't have a good foundation believing in something that is bigger than you and that loves you, when you don't know whose you are and who you are and your place in the scheme of things, you will attempt to manipulate the universe, the situation, people in your lives to get your good. And it's really simple. And I don't know that it's malicious. It's just a way that we are taught to communicate. But there are much better ways, much more effective.
Yeah, you are absolutely right, and we're going to get that. And you're right to say that it's not always evil. It's not always it's not always an underlying wrong intention.
No, it's not always malicious. No.
Mm-mm. But the big thing that you just said about not knowing who you are, psychologists say that the big reason that people really do play the manipulative mind game is because of their own insecurities. So go
My
figure.
My point exactly.
That's exactly what I was pointing to. And I'd like for us to talk about that because, again, this particular show is about mental growth. It's about spiritual growth. It's about emotional growth. And even though some of what we say at this point may feel like foreign to people who haven't delved into topics like this or don't talk about it on a regular basis, there are things that you learn about this and learn about yourself that once you get it, once you really get it in mastering your own mindset, you find yourself a lot more with mental strength and fortitude for doing your everyday. And that's one of the, I think, greatest accomplishments. But one of the things with those insecurities that's said is that we want to try to conceal what our true motivation and meaning is a lot of the time. And I'm thinking to myself, does that mean we're trying to, if we had said what we needed to say just very direct and gotten a straight answer, or if we had just put it out there and gotten a particular result, we're concerned that maybe it would fail, or maybe we won't get the right answer, or maybe this person will say we're stupid, and we're insecure with having to deal with that. But if we play it from the back door and say something kind of, off the track, that we'll hear what that person has to say, or we'll get a response that answers what we wanted to know without us standing front and center saying, that's really me that I'm talking about or what I really needed to know. It's really, I'm telling you, it's really a very fascinating way to do it. And something that Earn says is that we do it so much that it is just our normal. We don't really think of it as being an abnormal type of communicating. But you know, the whole idea of being direct, being straightforward, being open, getting to the point, it certainly has to be done with, depending on what you need or you're doing, you know, with some sophistication and tact or consideration. But I guess people feel vulnerable to whatever the responses could potentially be.
You know, Silver, you oftentimes use the phrase next level in terms of taking something to the next level or being in the next level. And when I hear what you said, everything you said is on point. But what I keep hearing in my mind is you're still attempting to play a situation outside of yourself. And the real mastering of the mind, the ultimate mind game, is when you realize that it all starts and begins with you. So it doesn't matter how somebody, once you master your own mind, once we master our own mind, and really, and so that goes back to what we say in so many conversations, that takes some foundation. You can't master your mind watching crap TV. That doesn't work. You can't master your mind following who shot who or who said what about who. That does not master the mind. That breaks down your, I think, ability to even understand where you are in the world. But once you really get some information, some knowledge that resonates with who you are, I mean, so I wouldn't say, but there definitely is, you know, things that I read specific me that have encouraged me, first of all, to think and that teach me how to think. Science of Mind is definitely one of my favorite reading materials, favorite. But until you that, then you're constantly trying to figure out, how do I play this situation or this scenario, or what do I say to this person to elicit this response or that response. But the true mind game is mastering your own mind till you realize that you create the situations that you want from the inside out. And it's not that you see or say or do a specific thing and elicit an immediate response. Is that you create, as we've talked about before, that mental equivalent, that space within yourself where you say, I receive it and I know it's going to happen. That's my story and I'm sticking to it. And I don't care what I see or what they say, I know what I'm doing. But like I said, that's the next level.
You're right. And, you know, it all does lend itself to a next level type of confidence in how you do you. You have to feel, as far as communicating successfully, getting what you need, and all of the things that you just described, you have to have, and I love this, I read several articles this morning on mind games and human interactions, and they all had a very positive point of view for how they summarize the best way to handle what we all experience with this every day. And that says the best thing to do is be mature, to be have an adult to adult and an adult to adult conversation that is honest, that's open, that's, you know, you're talking and you're saying what it is you really need, what it is you want, what you mean to be saying. Otherwise, you know, it's like two people on a pathway, you know, and one car is going in one direction and another car is, you know, going in another. You're on the same path, right, but you're not talking the same language, going in the same direction. But I that concept itself, again, to the whole idea of even being mature in what you say, it doesn't mean that you're that they're not talking about a level of intellect that when they say that.
Mm-hmm.
They're just saying, like you just described, being in a point inside your own mind where you mm-hmm. can think about what it is that you're really trying to get, what your motive, understanding your own motive, and how you can accomplish that or get the response mm-hmm. or engage in this particular conversation with somebody so that – there is a minimal misunderstanding, or that you don't get misunderstood, or there's miscommunication. I thought about this video that I've often shown on communication when I'm doing that type of training. And there's one scene where these two coworkers are on a plane, and they probably, I guess, for the first time were in that close proximity together, but this gentleman is obviously interested in this woman that's his coworker and has been for a time, but he sees this point where they're on this plane going on a business trip with the, you know, several other coworkers as an opportunity to ask her for a date. And so when he says to her, he kind of hems and haws, would you like to grab some dinner when we get to Chicago? And she looks very, you know, taken back. And she says, maybe I can. And I'm thinking, and the conversation went on for about 2 minutes without ever coming to any resolve about whether they were going to go to dinner when they got to Chicago.
Together.
And, you know, yeah. And so I found that, you know, in intriguing in itself, because would you like to go to dinner with me when we get to Chicago? I know of this nice restaurant down on, you know, Michigan Avenue. It's my favorite, and their cuisine is Italian. Would you like to go? Then I think I've got enough information, or this woman may have had enough information to say, yeah, you know, I love Italian food. Sure, we can do that.
Right.
But it was just very interesting how 2 minutes of dialogue, 2 or 3 minutes of dialogue, went absolutely no place. And it was just showing us how, again, in an everyday, easy environment with people we know really well, cannot accomplish or get the results or get an understanding that we need. And if we examine ourselves, we'll see that we walk away from a lot of situations with lack of clarity and frustrated, because we think we should have had a better result with it. And I think it lends itself to the opportunity for us to go back and even say, should I go back and try this again and say it this way and say what I really wanted to know, or put out there what I really wanted to say? And I love the whole idea of self-examination, because, again, it's just that great place where we take stuff that we learn from and we become phenomenal and phenomenal thinkers.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I hear and what you said was that, again, honest dishonesty, maybe not even attempting to maliciously manipulate an end result, but being afraid to just come out and ask, and so you throw out a couple of cues and hope that the person picks up on it. There have been times when people have attempted to do that to me, and I just won't bite, especially in a dating situation. It's like, no, you don't have to ask me. Just say it or not. In that scenario, you know, yeah, really, because and for me, even if I know where you're trying to go, what matters to me in terms of communication, because you know I am a communicator and I like it, what matters to me is you being able to say what you want. And so if this is how you're coming at me, whether even if I know, yeah, you want to take me to dinner and get to know me and la-di-da, but if you can't say it, we're not communicating. So even in situations like that, and then to come back and say it, but it's wonderful when you realize that that we can use our words, and that words are very powerful and creative things. And it's not always about getting what you want. I've been here for a minute, and so I've grown through a lot of things, and I went through mind games. I'm games on so many levels. I have grown through attempting to manipulate the world or the universe, and especially people. And there are times when I find myself attempting to do it and I get busted. It's like, but what do you trust? Because I have seen, Silver, as I know you have also, and I I think about a work situation, a work scenario, and I think about how there was like some negative energy that I was getting from this particular person that happened to be in a supervisor position. I don't believe in bosses, you know that. But this person was getting paid more than I was. So therefore had some say over, or had was part of her job description was to discuss my progress in her opinion. Let's put it like that. And so that power she attempted to lord over. Well, I found that incredibly annoying and frustrating, especially since I saw the joy and pleasure that she seemed to derive from telling me that my progress was not where it could, should be. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker. I didn't necessarily believe what she was saying, but I became angry and frustrated. And so I'm not playing the game well. Because I didn't realize, first of all, I was in a game at that time. I certainly didn't know the rules. And I drank the Kool-Aid. And it made my working experience, even in a job that I loved, it made my working experience difficult to frustrating to painful to just downright unbearable most days. And then, I won't even say it occurred to me. And then someone gave me the gift of information. And I'm not one for gossip, but someone said to me, as it relates to this particular person, oh, she likes to play mind games. And I thought, oh, we playing? Oh, I thought this was real. Oh, this is a game? Oh, well, I'm a gamer, like I said in the beginning of the conversation. Well, now let me see exactly what's going on here. And long story short, I did what I said before, what you advocate, what we talk about all the time. I changed my mind. I had to, first of all, recognize and continue to remind myself that my success was not determined by that job and certainly not by that person unless I say so. So I said no. So ultimately, it doesn't necessarily matter what happens in the apparent moment or present of the situation, that my life and my scheme of things is much bigger and much broader. So in taking myself out of the immediacy of the situation, I could then get a better perspective of the overall picture and just realize this girl's tripping and you ain't going to win because I have to agree with you that I am not doing what you say I should do. I disagree. Now, and all of that's personal. It never came down to anything between she and I, except I learned the rules of the game, and I won. And you know this. You know what I'm talking about. You know this to be true. And she's probably still scratching her head. I just changed. I learned the rules, and I took myself. But again, because the thought that as we talk about that manipulative, there are people that are honestly dishonest. I think this girl called herself a master at manipulating and playing mind games with people, which, again, as you say, stems from insecurity and fear of not being enough, not deserving enough, and therefore fearing you won't get enough. There is really no other reason to play with something so valuable as your own life. Why would you do it? But
particularly,
I was going to say, go.
I was just going to say, particularly in these cases, it just reflects on what you were saying about being manipulative. It's definitely of the negative kind.
But it doesn't matter. Once you understand that the ultimate game, the ultimate mind game is to master your own mind. And once you do that, it just really doesn't matter what other games people are playing. It just does not matter. It does not. Because you grow past the smallness, you learn and it takes practice and it takes time, but it takes understanding that is how to get what you want. That's how to live your truth in the world. You piece. First of all, I got to figure out who you are. And then you stand up and say, you know what, this works for me, this doesn't. The world doesn't end. People who will like you still like you, and those that don't might not at that moment, but you didn't need them anyway.
Yeah.
They were leaving regardless. So if they leave when you tell the truth, go today. Get out the way for somebody else who can communicate with me to step into place.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, I want to say a few things about what you have said, because there's a reason. We understand it, and when I say we, I mean you and me and other people who listen understand some of these perspectives real well. Eric Byrne, the author of Games People Play, says that people like the one that you just described have a private kind of significance for what they are trying to achieve. It's important to them. They don't think anybody else knows or understands it. They understand it. And so what they are doing by trying to make you feel inadequate or like you're really not on your game or you're not as successful as you think, they say that, and they use whatever power they have to make you feel hurt by what they've said, because it makes them feel more powerful. They feel their power when they're able to do that. And depending on, again, what it is, the particular, you know, subject matter may be, they can feel smarter if they make you feel less smart or less intelligent or less effective at what you're doing. So there's a private type of, he refers to it as a private significance of some kind that people have in their motives, that that's how they create their own sense of esteem, which isn't certainly the best form of esteem. I don't know that categorically it would be any kind of positive self-esteem, but they hurt others. They'll harm others. They'll do what they do to help themselves feel more important or more powerful or smarter. And certainly there's other ways too. I mean, when you think of people who bully or use words that are hurtful or harmful, and they know the impact of it, and certainly it could be in throwing something in a conversation, but that's their intent at that point. I make you feel small, I feel big. You know, it happens, again, too often. And I know that a lot of people can relate to the whole work environment. I know I've been there been made to I won't say it made me feel less than, it didn't, but I tell you, a lot of people know how to do a real good job of that mind game, that manipulative type where they want you to feel less valued than you really are. But what you said as a wrap to what your last comment was is that what we have to remember is where the real control lies if we are going to get through these situations that have this underlying negativity. We win when we understand our own selves and know that just because somebody is saying something or they're putting information out there or even asking questions or delivering information to you in a certain kind of way, we have to use the mastery of our own mindset to be able to understand, let me listen with the right kind of perspective myself.
Right.
And maybe this poor person is being authentic and honest, and maybe there's some other underlying element. Most of us can process information that quickly and then be even more calculating about asking questions if you don't get it, if there's more understanding that you need, so that when it all shakes out, when all is literally said and done, that you got what you needed, and perhaps they did or not, but you at least got it out there to your own successful communication and understanding of what was being presented. That's the part where we have to use our own unique communication skills and abilities. And I have to say, now, a lot of things that I talk about, I've learned. I didn't grow up and just grasp every piece of wisdom that was presented to me. I didn't. I had to, at some point in my life, go back and analyze things and asked questions at later points in life about situations and people and to get a greater understanding. And I'm saying that to let people know, regardless of where you are in your own mindset, it's the challenge that most of us face when we want to, again, launch ourselves to a next level kind of thinking. You can. Mm-hmm. It has to be you traveling around in your own thoughts and to take a look at what causes what and you think what or what you think about people and all of that kind of stuff to come to the best perspectives. You and I are not talking about necessarily what we think. This is right. This is absolute. This is the way you ought to think. That's not the challenge that I ever want to put out there to people. What I want to put out there to people is that we need to really consider the mastery of ourselves and our lives, because there are so many people you come across that are feeling unhappy, they're feeling miserable, they're feeling challenged about people and about life and about situations, because it really can present itself on any given, life can present itself like that on any given day. But what we hold in our heads about it can flip the script. And you know that's the term you and I have used for years when we talk about that stuff. You say change your mind, I say flip the script, and it all means the same thing. But it does. Undeniably, when you change your perspective, you can change your direction, you can change things, you can change yourself, and the list goes on and on and on, into a more positive person, take yourself into a more positive place, take yourself into prosperity, take yourself into productivity. It all really does work. It's not just a lot of us talking with a lot of hot air.
Let me interject something right where you are. Because we're saying, which could seem difficult, sound difficult to impossible to some people, we're saying just change your mind, and this can happen and this can happen. But I offer that you are what you think you are and where you find yourself because of what you believe about the information that has come your way so far. And the trick is, I kind of say it's after think of this way. It's interesting to me, this thing called life and this place called a universe with all of these different souls in it. And of course, the Bible in much spiritual teaching says there's just one of us here, one child of God, and we are all one and all of that. And it's just it can really make you go, what? but the interesting thing to me is the interesting thing to me is we come here. And we, before we are can figure things out for ourselves, we are certain ideas. There is race consciousness. There is geographical consciousness, who you are, what family you were born into, what ethnic group you were born into, what time. There is all of these things that we identify in the world that we're living in, and that we think we know, that we hold to be true. And in an effort to make us safe, it's important to be able to put your finger to call what you see out in front of you so you know whether or not you're in danger, so you know whether or not you need to run and hide or protect yourself or fight or whatever. I mean, it's just natural. And yet and still, for many people, we are so locked in our parent fears and beliefs because they were not loving people. We're not able to set us free or to love us past the things that held them bound and captive. And so when we talk about changing your mind, I think first we need to recognize, and this I think possibly has to be challenged. I mean, if you're bad enough to just hear it and change it, God bless you, go for it. But I think you possibly might have to put this to a challenge and really question, okay, let me be very specific because as I hear myself, I'm being vague. Let's talk about your death of cold, okay? I love my mother dearly. But she said, child, if you go outside with your hair wet, you're going to catch a death of cold. Every time I did, I did. And then I taught an exercise group for years. And the women would come on Saturday morning in the dead of winter. And, you know, in Milwaukee, winter can be like, you know, somebody did something to somebody. She can be really pissed off sometimes. And so they come in the dead of winter, having freshly washed heads of hair uncovered. And I watched them. First of all, I told them, I said, child, you can't go outside with your head. You'll catch your death of cold. But I watched them, and they didn't. So I'm thinking, now, wait a minute. How come I'm catching, and I mean, if I would work out in sweat and not cover up my head or take off the clothes I had on my body immediately in the wintertime, I would get sick. But because my mama said so, and I accepted it, they never got sick. So that just really made me think, wow. Well, how come they, wait. Maybe their mothers didn't tell them that they would catch their death of cold, and so they don't have to, but I did. I changed my mind. Now, I don't run around with a wet head of hair, but there are times when I have certainly been in a situation that certainly in the past would have had me in bed or, you know, sucking down vitamin C and zinc for a couple of days, that I have told myself, you don't have to do this. And that's the yes. kind, that's what I mean when I say that so much of we know is based on what we were told before we could even question it, that we just accept it to be true.
Yes.
That was grown
yes.
folk business, like I say. But yeah, but a lot of that deserves to be checked out.
Yes. Yes, it's a wonderful challenge. It's a great challenge, and the more I see, you know, the way of the world, and I don't mean that in any kind of religious perspective. I just mean how we're living out things now. We would be wise to try to make sense as well as we can of what we are doing, particularly in our human lives. Interactions. We've become so technology focused that I know that I am noticing how that's impacting interactions with people. And it's always my goal when I'm facing a situation out and, you know, I'm talking with people or whatever and they are hesitant to speak, I will offer some questions or comments so that I can get them to talk, because people literally are not talking as much, and that's not news from Foxology Today. Everybody knows that technology is playing an impact on that. But I want these things to be these conversations to be a positive challenge for us to be better. Communication is a part of life that really does make things work better when you do it right, when you're mastering it in itself, when you can say what you mean and mean what you say, or say what you want, express what you need, get clarity out, focus, make your point. All of that works to your advantage. I'm one of those persons that I ask things very directly often. I say things very directly often because I need you to get, you know, I need you to respond to me in a way that's also very direct. You know, but the whole beating around the bush and, you know, things like that, those are also other types of mind games. People avoid, again, being judged or that you'll say something about their point of view or, you know, avoid wanting to give you an answer that they feel might not, you know, fly. So it's a huge thing, but in your own mind, again, you have to be ready for it. You know, certainly everything you want and need is not going to come your way that way, that particular way. It won't. But you've got to be ready, again, positioned in your own mindset for whatever response, results, reflection you may get. That's all a part, to me, of communicating successfully. Communicating successfully doesn't mean the answers are always going to make you jump for joy or be excited mm-hmm. or happy about what's transpired, but to be past the point where you have to play a game that ultimately in the conversation or in the situation everybody loses is definitely not where you want to be. So what I want to do mm-hmm. is for us right now to talk about when is it? Is it ever beneficial? And how can we possibly utilize something like this to our advantage. We've talked about every which way that it can be manipulative, but you said something early in the show about navigating, and it really can assist us, not necessarily as a mind game, but I used the example earlier about buying a house. Flipping the script on that, a realtor who's trying to sell a house is not necessarily trying to play the manipulative game. They're just trying to do their job and sell a house to make their paycheck. That's really their goal. So when you look at it from a different perspective, and we definitely want to do that, we may be looking at the possibilities of whatever shakes out from being a positive way to get some information or to get what we're wanting. So, you know, I know that when I make calls to get something simple, like when I'm calling people about getting feelings fillers out about topics in the show and things like that, you know, I may put some information out just to get information back, you know, say this is something I'm thinking about. I don't know that I call that, it's not manipulation, it's navigating, if you can, you know, see what I'm saying. I put information out, I ask questions that may appear somewhat ambiguous or vague to get information that ultimately gets me to a place of clarity and whomever I'm talking to. When you can utilize it like that, it's good. It works. There's a wonderful dynamic that's taking place. And what Byrne says is that when actions and reactions are handled on an adult level in mature and authentic ways, they can be successful. That's the major focus I want us to go away with today. When actions and reactions are handled on an adult level, beyond thinking about manipulation, I'm throwing that in there, in mature and authentic ways, that means open, honest, direct, mature, meaning you kind of process your own emotions about what it is you're trying to get out of it or give out of it. But in those ways, these interactions tend to be more successful. So it kind of, you know, when you hear it like that, it sounds like it's really simple. It makes you wonder, why do people even think they need to play games? But there are ways that we can communicate.
We talked about earlier, though, we're not necessarily taught to do it any other way. We're not taught to say honestly what we want. I think about what you talked about. You know, you will say what you need to say. Which is honest for you. If it sounds ambiguous to someone else, then it's their opportunity to be clear and say, I don't understand what you mean by that. And you would then take it. But that's communication. And if somebody is not coming then from a this is where I'm coming from place, then we can understand the constant confusion and the lack of communication that goes on between people. The getting it twisted, if you will. We understand why that happens so often. If you're not coming from a this is what I need of you place to begin with.
Well, let's talk about a couple little points, Cassandra, that I jotted down before we wrap up. We've got about 10 minutes in our hour, so let's talk about this. So what do you do? I wrote down a few things, and if you want to just pick out one and we'll go back to another. But when can we help each other past mind games? I wrote, instead, paint a clear picture with words or examples of what it is you're really trying to get at. I also said, you know, analyze the situation, even if you have to talk it out rather than, you know, asking those questions that don't get real answers and it's only half of what you're really thinking. Put it all out there for discussion and then start talking about it. And then the last thing I said, discussing a perspective and point of view in a positive way, not to judge, not to pick it apart, not to be harmful and hurtful, but get that perspective out, the point of view, and know that you could potentially agree, you could potentially disagree, you could potentially just leave not even being on the same page, And then in your own mindset, that's still okay. So any of those things resonate with you as far as wanting to reflect on it?
You know what? Let me share with you and your listeners a situation that just happened for me on Saturday. And I talked to you about this. I said I had a wonderful meeting with my piano player, and he was playing, I was singing, and we were doing the same piece of music, completely different. That happened for two songs, and I said, "Okay, stop. This is not working. It's like you're doing a great job, and I'm doing a great job, but I'm doing it jazzy. You're doing it like swing. That ain't cute." We need to be together. And it was the kind of thing where, because I thought, okay, well, let me just see. Let me just see, because I applaud you being and doing you. I really do. But that was not working for where we have agreed to go together. Now, I could have wasted the entire rehearsal session just praying that he got it right and then gone behind him and talked about him behind his back, and I wish he'd do this, and I wish he'd. Or I just said straight out, early, song two, this is, no, let's not do this. Let's try this. And had a wonderful, very successful rehearsal. Now, the thing is, he had an opportunity to say, "I don't understand," and then honest communication would have gone on. But if I had not honestly told him where I was and what I needed, now that's just me. You don't have to own that. A friend of mine told me once, "Cassandra, I think you have commitment issues." And I said to her, and I think that in terms of how we wrap this up and what you do, because there's so much information coming at us, I said to her, "I don't have to have them just because you say I have them. I'll check it out. Maybe I'll get back with you on that." I did check it out, and yes, I did have some, but that's not the point. The point is, I'm not going to take it just because you say, but, you know, really. So he had an opportunity to say, to come back, but again, because our goal was to be at the same fierce destination together, we were able to work it out. It wouldn't have happened if I hadn't said honestly, "This is what I need." And that, I think, is applicable to any situation that where people are communicating. You got to come straight. You got to come, and the sooner the better, so you can really grow together.
Absolutely, absolutely. I just want to make sure again that we reflect on some of the things that we're talking about that we're trying to overcome, and then we'll look at those points again. But we're trying to make sure in the whole games people play scenario. We want to make sure we're avoiding asking backdoor questions, trying to get front door answer. We want to make sure that we're avoiding bragging and boasting and using our power to hurt or harm somebody else, make them look less than so we can look bigger and better. We want to make sure that what we're doing is trying to get past the thinking that I got over or I'm one up on that person because I said this or did this in talking to them and they had no clue. That's what I was really up to. We're talking about not using the whole strategy of putting guilt trips on people for things that perhaps you thought they should have done or didn't. And one of my favorites is when I hear lots of people talk about how their significant other or husband, spouse, forgot their birthday. And just, you know, find themselves real cranky, disappointed, and even hurt when that happens that they didn't remember. And I always say just jokingly, no, I don't say it jokingly, I say it seriously, that could never happen to me because I'm going to be announcing it for probably 2 or 3 weeks ahead so that I don't have to run into that problem.
Right. Right. No, you ain't.
You know my birthday is November 4th, right? Don't forget. Do you need a list of things I would like? You know, I don't leave, you know, why leave it up? I guess certainly it is sentimental, of course. But
that's setting yourself up to be frustrated. That's setting
exactly.
That is a self-fulfilling prophecy because you are sure they're going to forget. You watch it coming. You know when it is. You watch them. They don't know. You're frustrated, though. You let it go by, and then you sing them with it. Tell them, for God's sakes, and you can all have a good day.
Yes, yes. And, you know, you get to a point, you understand in life it's very easy for people to forget even very significant dates. It's just, you know, I don't think anybody, you know, they're not deliberately trying to just forget you. They just didn't remember. And, you know, if it's important enough to you, make it known. I mean, there's no reason, you know.
Precisely.
So what if they didn't remember? But there are all kinds of things that people use to place guilt trips. And, again, that only takes everything in a more negative direction. So do the forethought rather than the mind game and you know, get accomplished what you need. And that's just to have a great time, like you just said, on that particular day. And things, sometimes we do things, and I bet a lot of people have experienced people who do the overkill, trying to get people to like them for some reason. And we often do things, too, to fill people out about something. Again, it's kind of another way of putting something out there or saying something about somebody or something, trying to gauge a response from them. So we're trying to understand those things and to give the perspective that perhaps that's just not the way to always get to the best communication, successful communications, and get what you want or need. When we are winners, and we can walk away a winner in those conversations and situations, again, when we offer a more mature approach, a more direct approach, something that's authentic about us. I mean, those are the things that we can be sure. When we're coming from the right mindset of our own, when we're presenting information or doing our, you know, we're doing, we say do you, being authentic, we always come away. We may not have liked the response or the information, but as long as we understand ourselves in our own head, that's when we hold the winning card. Always, and we have to remember that. Winning does not mean that you got over or you got that thing. You feel good about yourself. You feel about good as a winner, knowing that you put out what you needed to put out as a great self-concept, as a great communicator, as a, you know, sense of your own, what you said earlier, who you are. You walk away always, always again, holding the winning card.
Yeah. You know,
so
I want
to
say also, Silver, I was going to say, I want to say, you talked about people that are bragging and boasting, and you urge people don't communicate that way. But I also want to talk about, make a note to the people that are being bragged at or boasted at, to remember that those sorts of over magnified sense of self that come at you from somebody else are always because that person is feeling less than, because what else would it be? And so so when that's coming at you, so you don't buy into the they're better than I, they're just different than you are, and the fact that they feel like they have to tell you means that they're a little afraid at that time.
Well, you know, there's a lot to be taken away from this conversation today, and it's my hope, again, that, you know, we're not trying to be opinionated about it. We talk in the vein as adequately.
Yeah,
well,
me.
Let me just say this first.
I am opinionated. All right, go on.
As you always have, you know, put your perspectives out as this is what I know so far. That's what I feel we talk about. It's what we know, what we've learned, what we've experienced. We're not just trying to say, you know, this is a cute concept about how to do life. We've learned, and we get to a point where, I mean, of course, I love this stuff, but I look for the nuggets. I look for hearing somebody say something and then applying it in my own life and then having the wonderful aha moments of saying, oh, my God, that really does benefit me. That really does work. Mm-hmm. And, of course, things like that you continue to make work for you. So, you know, just for the sake of, you know, reiterating on purpose and goal of what the conversation is, so that we can learn those ways, again, that will create a more or masterful mindset of living a life that's more positive and more productive as we go through our everyday. Anything else you'd like to say before we wrap up?
I think that this has been, again, a wonderful way to do a first Monday of the month. And it's interesting in what you said is your close. I am talking about what I know to be true for me. And I share it because I'm still here. And I encourage or invite or double dog dare anybody to try just to grow past where you are. Don't do it my way, but do it. And I'd like to say that the ultimate mind game is not played on somebody, but it's played with yourself. Do that and you cannot lose.
And that is the perfect way to wrap up the show. Superstar RRR, thank you again. Always appreciating your tremendous experience with life and insights. I hope you have an amazing day, and I'll look forward to talking to you soon. Reel that back in. Tell people your website, stuff you're doing before we hang up.
CassandraMcShepherd.com is my website. Please check me out. There's a DVD that you can purchase. You can see me singing. You can log on to Fox6Now.com and stream live the show, Real Milwaukee, from 9 to 10 through Friday. But like I said, and even, you know, hit me up on Facebook or something. Give me a shout out and tell me how you're thinking. I'd like that.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Silver. Thank you so much.
You're wonderful. Keep being fierce, sis. I'll talk to you soon.
Yes.
And I want to thank you all again, as I usually do, for being the most phenomenal listeners. I hope you enjoyed this Master Your Mindset Monday today, Games People Play. Just want to remind you of a couple of things that were said that really takes it to the positive side. When actions and reactions are handled on an adult level in mature and authentic ways, they can be successful. We don't have to play games. We don't have to manipulate people. We don't have to leave things so misunderstood. Let's do all we can to have the best interactions we can with each other. I'll be looking forward to talking to you again real soon. In the meantime, I hope you have the most amazing day soon. Thanks so much for tuning in.